Isaiah chapter 9. Last week we began to look at this. I'm going to go a little further than we did last week. Let me just give you about 30 seconds a sum up of last week's message. We began to look at Isaiah 9:6, where the prophecy about the Messiah comes that says, a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and then his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But we looked last week at why a son. Why did God give a son? Why was it important that the Messiah comes as a son? Why not a president or a CEO or an administrator or a dictator or a military leader? Why is the government, the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, why is that carried on the shoulders of a son? What we saw was, and this, the message is on the website if you'd like to go hear it and catch up, but what we saw is that only a son can carry the rule and reign of God. Only a son could show us what it is to be in relationship with a father. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But we began to see last week, it is vitally important for us to remember and to know that the Son was the one who was to carry the government of God, the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of the Father. All right. Now, it says his dominion will be vast and ever increasing. Look at verse 6. A child will be born for us, Isaiah 9:6. A son will be given to us and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, or Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Here's what I want to do. I want to fairly quickly go over a little bit about what each of these titles means for us. What do we get from it? Why are these important? And then I want to show you what happens when you put these lenses on and you begin to see Jesus as the embodiment, the personification of all these four things. And of course, he's so much more, but I think it's in this context, as you go out for the Christmas season, as you see these phrases on posters or banners or Christmas cards or hear them in carols, you know, we sing it in Handel's Messiah. Well, I say we. All of us, I'm sure, have sung that in Handel's Messiah, you know. But we hear, you know, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the ever. I have to even quote it like that because that's how I'm used to hearing it. The Prince of Peace. And so we see that, but it's lost on us because we haven't really thought too much about what that means. See, sometimes we miss scriptures because we think we know what it means because we get the surface meaning of the words, but we miss the deeper thing. All right, so let's look at this for just a moment. First one, Wonderful Counselor. I'm going to write these up here for a reason so we can refer back to it. Oh, that's not how you spell that. Wonderful. Of the Lawrence Welk way of doing these verse, a wonderful counselor. Those of you who are under 30 may have no idea what I'm talking about.
Under 50.
Under 50. Yeah, I was a little old for my. I used to love to watch Lawrence Welk. He was a wonderful counselor. Okay, so wonderful counselor. Well, what's a counselor? A counselor, in this particular context, listen, we're not talking about a therapist where you go and you talk about your problems and all they do is ask you questions to help you reveal yourself. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a counselor as someone who actually has answers for your problems, who has solutions, who has wisdom, and can help you get that wisdom so that you can fulfill your purpose and be an effective person, right? Even in the sense of, I was coming to church this morning, and on the radio there was a commercial for a law firm, and it was about counselors. You know, that's what lawyers are called. They're called counselors. Why? Because it's their job to say, all right, in this government, here's how the government can help you live a productive life. If you go see a lawyer about something, rarely do people go see a lawyer if they're not in trouble somehow. If there's not some kind of trouble or conflict going on, they go see a lawyer. And the lawyer is supposed to say, okay, given how this government works as a representative of it, let me tell you how you can operate within this system of government so that your life will be more effective. All right, now, technically, and all lawyers do that, but that's technically what a counselor is. So a counselor then would be someone who gives you revelation, someone who has wisdom, someone who helps you find purpose. And so counselor speaks of, we'll say, revelation and purpose. All right? So, the adjectives are not, they are important here. They're not just there for dressing. He is a wonderful counselor. Jesus is not just a so-so counselor. He's not a counselor who's right sometimes or he thinks he may. He's not. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. I mean, he is always right. He always has the best advice. Now, one thing this also means is that if you're going to know him as a wonderful counselor so you can get answers for your life, and for situations that you find yourself in and that others find themselves in, if you're going to get some revelation and wisdom for that, it's going to include a give and take. This, listen, if Jesus is going to be a wonderful counselor for you, that takes prayer out of the realm of the one-way street wish list that we always treated it as. That means prayer cannot be just your letter to Santa Claus that says, okay, dear God, here I am, here's what I'd like for you to do. That means you've got to get to know him. You've got to reveal yourself. You've got to hear his voice. Our college and young adult group meets on Sunday nights. We're meeting tonight, by the way. And one of the things we've been doing is practicing hearing God. Because the greatest thing that I can ever do as your pastor for you is to teach you how to hear God for yourself. I'm telling you, it's the best thing I can ever do for you. Because when you know how to hear God for yourself, then you're not dependent. And listen, it's good. We should listen to what God has to say and through other people, but you don't have to depend on that for your answer. You can go to God yourself. So, wonderful counselor speaks of revelation and purpose. All right. Mighty God. There's so much I could say about all one of these. Every one of these. But I can't today because there's just a lot to get through. But Mighty God, this speaks of perspective and power. See, for Jesus to be revealed as and to be called, to be referred to as Mighty God, says to us that when we see him, we see ourselves and our place in the world. Only when we know him as the Mighty God. Now again, not just God. Here's the thing. Here's what I love about that. You know, people refer to God as different things all the time. Everybody's got their own, everybody in the world have their own idea of who God is. And you hear it all the time. It's, well, you know, pray to whoever God is to you. Now let me tell you who he is. He's not just God, this ethereal being floating around out there that's like nailing jello to a wall. Here's how I know him. He is Mighty God. He's a God of power. He's a God who can do things. He's a God that can run stuff. This is a God that can actually accomplish. He's not just God. He is the one and only Mighty God. Full of might, full of power. All right, so when we understand that Jesus is Mighty God, remember, he's not just the Son of God, he is God himself. He's fully God and fully man. And he walked among us as the Mighty God, showing us the power of God. We realize he's Mighty God. Y'all, it helps us know who we are. See, you really can't find your purpose. You know, Rick Warren became America's pastor a few years ago by writing the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And what happened was it struck a chord in all of us that said, you know what? That really is my deepest desire. I need to know, why am I here? What am I living for? Did my life matter? We watch, you know, It's a Wonderful Christmas every Sunday, every year. Love that show. It's the one. George Bailey is always, that's the one. It's a Wonderful Christmas Life. I'll just shorten it. Usually It's a Wonderful Life Christmas movie or motion picture, and we just shorten it. Okay. We watch It's a Wonderful Christmas every life at this time of day. I'm going home after a while. All right. So It's a Wonderful Life. And Jimmy Stewart is George Bailey. You know what that's about? It's a man trying to find his purpose. It's him saying, he's saying, hey, I want to know that my life mattered. Did it make a difference that I was here? Did it matter to anybody else that I was here? And so it's the lifelong dream of people to find their sense of purpose. But if we're going to see that purpose can only come when we get a perspective of who we are in relation to the Mighty God who runs the universe. See, here's the good news about Jesus being Mighty God. When we get that perspective, we realize he's God and we aren't. And that's really good news. Listen, you remember when Jesus, John the Baptist sent people to Jesus and said, hey, listen, John's in prison. He wants to know, Are you the one that he said you were? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, go back and tell him this. Tell him what? The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Tell him that I'm doing what the Messiah was supposed to do. I'm doing Messiah work. And y'all, I got to tell you something. Jesus being mighty God, Jesus being the Messiah is good news for you, because Messiah work is really hard if you're not the Messiah. And so for us to think that we can solve everybody's problems, that we can be everything that they need, that we can listen, let me tell you something. We understand that we are the conduits of the power of God, but He is mighty God. See, I mean, I'm telling you, and Lonnie, I'm talking about this, reading that letter about that testimony. Lonnie knows he's not, it wasn't his power that he came up with and created from the foundation of the world. It was the power of God that gave him the wisdom to pray for this lady, and the power of God woke that man up a few minutes later. And so when we see mighty God, we see our perspective. Now the great thing is, when we get that perspective, part of that perspective is we have been invited in by Him to flow in that. And that's an incredible privilege for us. But we understand, in order to do that, we understand the power does not come from us, it comes from Him who is in us. All right. So mighty God gives us perspective and power. This is a God who can do things. This is not a God of wood and stone, who, as Isaiah said, why do you make these gods of wood and stone that you pray to them and they can't do anything? They don't even talk to you. There is a God who will talk back to you. And it gives you perspective and power. All right. Then there is eternal Father or everlasting Father. All right. This speaks of a couple of things. One is the Father speaks of love and relationship. All right, now, and of course, we know that included in this is what we've been talking about for the last number of weeks, the part of this father relationship that we're getting. He has not left us orphans. We don't act like orphans who don't have a father. We trust the Father for our protection. What else? Anybody remember? Provision and promotion. You guys are listening. Awesome. All right. So what we know then is we come to the point where when we see Jesus as the Father, He said, the Father and I are one. We are the same person. I have revealed Him to you. He said, John 17, Father, I've taken those that you've given me. I've kept them, and I have made your name known to them. I'm done now. I'm through. I did what I was supposed to do. I made your name known. And so Jesus said, I've shown you, everybody, that you can trust the Father for your protection, provision, and promotion. See, someone who has an orphan heart, who thinks they're on their own, who doesn't know or doesn't believe that they have a Father who loves them, they always are going for these things themselves. They're always clamoring, trying to get their own protection, provision, and promotion. But I got to tell you something. If you live your life searching for, trying to protect yourself, trying to provide for yourself and trying to promote yourself. And that, by promotion, it goes all the way back to purpose. See, promotion has to do with being successful, with achieving your dreams, with all that kind of deal, being who you were designed to be. That goes back to your purpose. Listen, if you do not have a clear vision of your purpose, and what is your purpose? We said it last week. You know what your purpose is? To be a son, to be a daughter, to relate to the Father, and to make His name known in everybody you have influence with. That's your purpose. It's that easy. But if you don't know that, if you haven't seen Him, if you've gotten that revelation from that, then you're going to be trying to fulfill your own purpose with your own. But listen, even if you're successful at doing this to a degree, it'll never be enough. You will never be able to achieve enough protection, provision, or promotion for yourself to make yourself satisfied. You will never be able to rest in that. Now, is one thing, Annette and I were talking between the services. I love this. This word, eternal, is really important here, because some of us, you know what it is to have a father, to have a good father. And some of you don't know what that is. But here's the thing. Even the best earthly fathers are only here for a short time. But in God, we have protection, promotion, and provision from an eternal Father. He was Father before us. He's Father to us now. He will be the Father after we're gone. He ain't going nowhere. We have an eternal Father. We have everlasting Father. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will not abandon you. He neither slumbers nor does he sleep. He will not leave you. He will not turn his back on you. And he will not, watch everybody, he cannot die because he has conquered death. Does that make sense? See, that's a good thing. I mean, that again, none of us, we don't know the number of our days, but I do know this. We have an eternal Father, and only in him do we have him. So, and then last is this. I'm going to show this to you in Scripture again. Prince of Peace. All right. Now, as Prince of Peace, this speaks of sovereignty, which you are welcome to spell however you like. Sovereignty, and, of course, couldn't choose a better word for it than peace. All right, so here's how this works. Sovereignty then speaks of rulership. The word prince, listen, God didn't give this to Isaiah just because P, you know, made for a good sermon outline because it alliterated with peace. I mean, it could have been purveyor of peace for all we know. But prince of peace, though, speaks of the kingdom. It speaks of the rule and the reign of God, the royalty, the sovereignty of God. And so Jesus then is not just a person of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the one. Again, peace is not this thing where people just stop fighting for a few weeks. Guys, that's not peace. War is over if you want it. Yeah, not really. See, because you can't just want it enough and have peace. Peace comes from the one who is able, watch, the one who is able to overrule all sources of conflict. The overruling is what brings peace. The one, the sovereign one, who can demolish, who can put everybody else in their place, that's when you have peace. Now, that's kind of a global level, but also for us, in our lives, in our hearts, and here's what happens. When we get revelation from this wonderful counselor who helps us find our purpose, which is to know him, what happens is we get perspective and we see the power of a mighty God to bring everything in line, and we understand that he's God and we're not, so we stop trying to be God and we submit to him as God, as the owner, as the ruler. And then, though, see, here's the great thing. Jesus didn't just leave us there, because if that was all there was, if all there was just no, then we'd have no hope but to be indentured servants under him as a dictator. But instead, Jesus said, now that you know who you are and who God is, I'm going to show you how to relate to this God as a father, how to apprentice under him as a son. And so then we move into the love relationship where we trust him for our protection, provision, and promotion. And when we trust him for that and we understand that he has the power to rule over all the other things that are coming against us, you know what the end result is? Peace. Guys, that's peace. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. Because in his sovereignty, when he rules and we come up under that, that becomes... Does that make sense? All right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you something real quick, and then we're gonna pray. Yeah, some people got saved in the first service. After this. Ephesians chapter 1. How many of you got a pen or pencil? Anybody got anything to write with? All right, if you do, I want you to get ready to take, write some initials in the margins of your Bible, okay? So what you might want to do is just, you can shorten this however you want to. You can do the initials WC or MG or EF or principal. You can do however you want to, but I want to show you what happens when you put these lenses on, when we begin to see who Jesus is as all four of these things. In Ephesians 1, we're going to start in verse 15. And now you're probably going to see some things that I haven't seen. And you'll probably get some revelation I haven't gotten. And that's great. There's not any wrong answers here. But I want you to get a little practice on how this works, okay? Ephesians 1, verse 15. Now, as we read this, I want you to see if you can see Jesus as all of these things in this scripture. Verse 15, Paul writes, he says, "This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints. All right? What do you see there? Any one of these you see in that passage? Look, I pray that He would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of His calling. What does that sound like? Wonderful Counselor, right? Because that speaks of revelation, speaks of purpose. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to show you who you are and what He has for you so that you can be what you're called to be, right? All right, so you can put a little WC out. You know, I looked at mine now, and I've decided I'm going to have to write some kind of note to take me back to Isaiah 9. Or 5 years from now, I'm going to look at this in my Bible and wonder what in the world I meant by that. WC, EF, PP, I'm just not going to know what that meant. All right, so you may have to do the same thing. All right, look at the next verse. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His vast strength? What does that sound like? Mighty God, right? Power, strength. Look at verse 20. He demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavens. Now, the first part, I think, speaks again of mighty God. He demonstrated this power, but watch what it moves to. Verse 21, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put everything under His feet and appointed Him as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. What does that speak of? Prince of Peace. For one thing, and again, there may be more in there. You're welcome to see more. But I'm thinking Prince of Peace because anytime you see words like dominion, power, thrones, authority, that all speaks of the sovereignty of God. Those are kingdom words. Those are ruling words. And so you got Prince of Peace coming out there. All right. Which is what happens when He fills all things in every way. What does that bring? Peace. Because that's what when things get reconciled. All right. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And by nature, we were children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is abundant in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace you are saved. What does that speak to you of? Eternal Father. Yes. See, you watch for keywords like children, love, grace, gift. See, these are Father words. These are actions of a father to his children or to those he is adopting in. Therefore, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Daddy, Abba, Papa. All right. Verse 6, He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What's that? What do you think? Just shout it out. Yeah, Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. See, again, there are a lot of things in there. Depending on what really is popping out to you, it can be a number of these things. All right. Verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Again, when you see gift and love like that, grace, that usually speaks of fatherhood. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus. Now watch, this was interesting. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. What is that? Yeah, that's purpose. That's revelation. That's who we are. It's also perspective, but it's a lot of purpose in there. He has created us for this reason, for good works, so that we should walk in them. So that's Jesus as Wonderful Counselor giving us revelation of our purpose. Look at verse 11. So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, done by hand in the flesh. At that time, you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, with no hope and without God in the world. What's that? Yeah, well, I think mighty God, that's perspective, isn't it? Yeah, it's an orphan heart. But for one thing, this gives us perspective. This is who we are without God in the world. Look, You were, where is it? They were excluded from the foreigners, the covenants, the promise, with no hope and without God in the world. Now, for one thing, there are a number of things that can be, but that gives us perspective on who we are without Him so that we can know Him the rest of the way. Now, watch, it goes on. 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah, for He is our peace. Okay, so what's that? Yeah, okay, that was fairly easy. He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In His flesh, He did away with the law of the commandments and regulations so that He might create in Himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that He might reconcile, that's another word of peace, both to God in one body through the cross and put the hostility to death by it. When Christ came, He proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. What's that? Eternal Father. Right now, you've got sonship going on again. And again, there's contrast to the orphan spirit, the orphan heart of a few verses before, where you were once without hope and without God in the world. If you were without God, you were without the Father. Right? And so you're without hope, without God in the world, so then you're an orphan. Now you've been adopted. You've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And now you know Him as eternal Father. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. What's that? Eternal Father. See? All right. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. The whole building... Now watch this last part. The whole building is being fitted together in Him and is growing into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. What's that? There's purpose in there, right? You are being built together for God's holy dwelling in the Spirit. This is why you're built. And so you have more revelation. You see how all this weaves in and out of there? See, when you get these lenses and you put them on, you begin to see Jesus as the embodiment of all of these things that Isaiah said He would be. So Isaiah says this, listen everybody, there is a child coming for us. There's going to be a son that would be given to us. And when that son comes, on whose shoulders the government of the kingdom of God is born and is carried, that son will be to us, not just be called. These aren't just His nicknames. These are who He is. That son will be to us, wonderful counselor, who will give us revelation and purpose, the wisdom of God. He will be mighty God and nothing less. He will be the one that can change your situation, that can change your heart, that can change your life. He will be the mighty God, the one who has the right to run the universe, but who chooses to reveal Himself as the eternal Father, so that you can not just be submitted to God, but so you can know Him as Father. So that you no longer have to go after your own protection, provision, or promotion. So that you no longer have to fight for your own interests, but you can trust the Father for these things. And when you trust the Father for your protection, provision, and promotion, you come up under that prince, and when you let Him rule your life, the result is you walk in peace. Now, what do we say our purpose was? Our purpose is to be a son, be a daughter, and to make His name known to everybody with whom we have influence. So what's His name? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So our job, everybody, is to make Jesus known to people in those roles. So when people need, they're looking for purpose, how do we make Him known to them as the Wonderful Counselor? See, when people need perspective, when they're lost in this world, or they need power and they feel helpless in their situations, in their lives, in their hearts, they're bound by sin or they're confronted by sickness, what do we tell them? There is a mighty God, and He came as a son. Then when people are looking for their own protection, provision, and promotion, or when it's you, you're clamoring for that yourself, what do you do with that? Because it'll never be enough, even if you get some. You know what? We bring people to Jesus and we make Him known as the eternal Father who provides for you, who protects you, who promotes you in His way, the way that He knows best in His time, and we can wait on that. We can relax. We can trust Him in that. Then when they start getting that, if people don't have peace, it's usually because one of the other three things is out of whack. If they don't have peace, it's because they haven't trusted the Father, they haven't seen themselves as who their place in the world, and they don't have any sense of their purpose. When those other three things get in line, the result is we see Him and we know Him as the Prince of Peace, the ruler, the one, the sovereign who gives us peace. Okay, so when this Christmas season, as you see this out and around, as you see it on greeting cards, would you just take a moment and reconcile, just submit yourself to that. I'm telling you, that's where peace comes from. All right, stand with me if you would. I just feel like we just need to pray and ask the Lord. we need to live this out. I believe it's incumbent on us to live this out so that, because that's how we're going to make Him known to people who need to know Him. That's how we're going to live that. That's how people are going to be changed by seeing us, by knowing us, is when we actually have that kind of peace. That peace only comes from knowing Him as all these things. Lord, in this place today, we present ourselves to You. We present our hearts. We present our lives. And we ask You, Father, would You now cause all of these things that Jesus, the Son, the child that was born for us, all these things that You ordained Him to be, would You cause Him to be all those things in us right now? Lord, right now we say where we have ignored our purpose, where we have not submitted to our purpose, which is to be a son, to be a daughter to You, and to make Your name known. Lord, if we have tried to find our own purpose apart from You, we repent of that right now. We repent and we want to get in line with who You've called us to be. Lord, in as much as we have lost our perspective of the fact that You are God and we are not, and if we have ignored the power that is available from a mighty God to change our lives and our hearts and those around us, then we repent in as much as we have lived apart from that. Lord, in that we have lived as orphans and we have not trusted the heart of the Father to protect us and provide for us and promote us, God, we repent of that right now, and we say that we want to be sons and daughters. We want to be real children of the King and the kingdom. And Lord, in as much as we have not had peace because we haven't lined up with all of these other things, God, we say we repent. We want to be people who walk in peace. We want to be people who live in peace, who really demonstrate it, who are not trying to get peace all the time, but who can demonstrate peace, that peace just exudes from us, that a peace that passes understanding. We may not even know why we're at peace, but we just know we are because we trust our Father to provide, protect, and promote us. And so we're not worried anymore. We're not stressed out anymore. We're not wondering where our next meal is going to come from, or who's going to love us, or who will protect us, or will we be seen as the people of value that we know ourselves to be. God, thank You that we don't have to worry about that when we really trust our Father to do that. So God, help us to know You as Father and to know who we are as sons in Your household. So Lord, now, would You remake us and remold us after Your will? Father, use us. May we be the people who, everywhere we walk, that we make Your name known to everyone that we have influence with. And Your name that we're to make known, Your name is Wonderful Counselor. Your name is Mighty God. Your name is Everlasting Father. Your name is Prince of Peace. We bless You now, Everlasting Father. We bless You, Wonderful Counselor. We bless You as Mighty God. We extol You. We lift You up. We declare that You are the Prince of Peace. There is no peace outside of You. We declare that You are the everlasting, eternal Father who will never leave us or forsake us, who will never turn away, never let You. You are eternal Father. You are Mighty God. We can depend on You. You are the one who gives us revelation and purpose. God, we thank You today for all that You are. Jesus, we welcome you now as that child that was born for us, who born, lived, died, rose again, and ascended, and reigns now for us. We bless you. We welcome you. We give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you very soon. God bless you.